Dear future pastors, dear future deaconesses, dear future doctors and professors, dear present sisters and brothers in Christ, you are the future of the church. Is it this what you expect to hear in a commencement speech? If you expect this, I have to disappoint you. You are not the future of the church. I am not the future of the church, and I've never been it. If you want to know who is the future of the church, you should listen to Martin Luther, who has never been the future of the church either. But he has put it very precisely. It is not us, after all, who could preserve the church. Our ancestors have not preserved her, and our offspring will not preserve her either. But it has been him, it is him, and it will be him who says, I am with you always to the end of the age. You are not the future of the church. Fortunately not. But as you are going to serve in Christ's church in the future, you are allowed to know that you work in an enterprise with an eternal sustainability. You cannot say this about any other enterprise on earth. But it's true that you work in the enterprise with the best future prospects that you can imagine at all. Well, I do not directly speak of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, even though I'm totally convinced that the Confessional Lutheran Church is, humanly speaking, the church of the future. But I speak of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church in whose service you are called and will be called and who cannot be overcome even by the gates of hell. That's a good basis for a lifelong ministry, that's for sure. But as we are not the future of the church, we have to concede that Christ very often builds his church against all our plans and expectations, and often enough against all our efforts. Christ is not the religious background music for our own efforts to build the church as we would like to see her. But often enough, he slams doors in front of our nose before he starts to open them again. It is 25 years ago that we realized in our work at St. Mary's Lutheran Church in Berlin-Zehlendorf that after the breakdown of the Soviet Union, more and more Russian-German migrants came from the former Soviet Union to Germany. We visited them in their camps, brought coffee and cake to them, even performed a Christian puppet play for them. I think we were pretty good. But nothing happened. Nobody came to church. Nobody wanted to be baptized. Well, I said, we have tried it at least. Now we know they do not want to come. Let's look for a different task that we might tackle. But while we were still looking for this new task, suddenly 12 Russian Germans came to us after a church service and told me that they wanted to be baptized. Well, they knew almost no German, and I only knew yes and no, da and niet in Russian. Aside from words like vodka, which were not too helpful for the baptismal class. Well, I tried to teach them Luther's catechism with my hands and my feet, and I have no idea until today how much these 12 understood. But finally, I baptized them. And they were followed by another 400 people, so that we often heard more Russian than German in our church. We had to give up first before Christ wanted to start. 9 years ago, two Iranian Christians came to our church in Zehlendorf. It is always nice to have a few Persians in the church. Then you can show that you are very tolerant and open-minded. There were just two Iranians for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years. Nice, but nothing special. I did not expect anything from these two guys anymore. But then finally a third gay came, and then a fourth one. And then I baptized my first Iranian almost 6 years ago. Then I baptized the first female Iranian a couple of months later. Matt Harrison preached on this Sunday in our church. I do not know whether this has been the reason, but during the following weeks, more and more Iranians came to our church and wanted to be baptized. 1 year later, we had almost 100 of them in our church, and they were in the strange habit of coming to church every Sunday. Looked like a big success, don't you think so? A couple of weeks later, I found a letter in my pastoral office. Members of our congregation had collected signatures telling me that I do not care about the real congregation anymore, that I only love the refugees, and that the members of the congregation are not willing to accept this any longer. 1 day later, the Board of Elders approved of this letter as well, telling me that I should send these refugees away so that everything could be as nice as before in the congregation. I told them that if they sent the refugees away, I will go with them. And thus I had to go. Just 4 years ago, I had come to naught in my work. I had totally failed in what I had done all the years before. People with whom I had worked for more than 20 years did not want to know me any longer. I had to move to an old church building some miles away, which we had wanted to tear down several times before because it was in such a bad condition, and almost nobody wanted to go to the worship services there anyhow. Many laughed at me and told me that I would be without job within 6 months, just having a group of Iranians and Afghans with me who would certainly disappear pretty soon again. That's how our refugee work started in Steglitz, as a result of a deep disillusion, as a result of a failure that absolutely brought me to my limits. That's how Christ begins to build his church, showing us that we ourselves are certainly not the future of the church. Think of it. If you realize in your work that things go totally different from what you planned and expected, Christ has his own very special sense of humor. Meanwhile, we have more than 1,500 members in our church in Steglitz, 1,300 of them being refugees from Iran and Afghanistan. What did we do? I tell you, we celebrated the Lutheran Mass. At first once a week, then twice a week, meanwhile 3 times a week. We used the advantages that we have as Lutherans, that you can not only hear but see something in the worship services, vestments and liturgical gestures, that you can feel something when the pastor puts his hand on your head and forgives you your sins, that you can feel something when you receive the holy body and blood of Christ and the holy sacrament with your mouth. If you do not speak a word of German as a refugee, you are pretty lost in a Protestant preaching service. But you know why you travel to church for 3 hours, as many of our members do, if you get the holy absolution and the medicine of immortality there. It was not us, but Christ himself, who built this congregation by word and sacrament, not by fancy inventions, not by clown ministries, but simply by the gifts that he himself distributed. What did we do? We taught the contents of Martin Luther's small catechism in baptismal classes. We simply taught law and gospel. And the refugees realized that this is the real contrast to Islam that they were looking for. Not as close to Islam as the reformed stuff that quite some of them had experienced before as well. Never forget these treasures that we have in our Lutheran church. Do not get talked into thinking that these treasures are an impediment for missions. If you see the hundreds of young Afghans and Iranians in our church reverently receiving Holy Communion every week, you understand that this is not true. We have much more to offer than Joel Osteen. And do not forget what you have learned here at Concordia Theological Seminary during the last years. Sometimes people think that doing missions means to forget theology. Nothing could be more wrong than this. I've never had to do so much theology in the classes and conversations in my congregation as now with my Iranian and Afghan refugees. Refugees are not simple-minded and stupid. Our Iranians and Afghans know their Bible, and they like to discuss theology. You really have to know the formula of Concord when you lead the Farsi Bible class on Saturday and they begin to ask questions. And you experience again and again that the Book of Concord is not an old book, but so topical that it can answer the questions of former Muslims in the 21st century as well. And you really have to know your Bible. If they start to compare Bible quotes or ask you about some expressions in the letter of Jude, of course, it is good and necessary to continue your theological studies, whether you will be a pastor or a deaconess. But never forget to be grateful for the theological basis that was laid in your lives during these years here in Fort Wayne. As a former Fort Wayne student, I know what I'm talking about. We as pastors and deaconesses are not the future of the church. We will not be able to effect faith in one single person. And even less are we able to decide who should come to our churches and who not, who seems to fit to our congregations and who not. Christ might have totally different plans for you and your congregation than what certain church growth programs try to tell you. I've always worked in parishes in rather wealthy parts of the city, but the people who joined our church were always people from the bottom of society. I still remember a rich lady from our congregation in Zehlendorf leaving our church with the words, "Now they begin to take everybody here." She could not have made a better compliment to us. Our Lutheran church is not a middle-class church, and we do not ensure our future by looking for new members with a decent salary. I cannot deny that we are grateful in Steglitz for American donors with a decent salary as well. We depend on miracles in our work, but it is so helpful to learn to pray the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer every day anew. Just pray for the daily bread, for nothing more. And ask God to open your eyes that you begin to realize the wonderful promise that he has given to us in Matthew 25, that we serve the Lord himself by giving food to the least of his brothers who are hungry, by giving drink to the least of his brothers who are thirsty, by welcoming the least of his brothers who encounter us as strangers and refugees, as migrants in our cities and neighborhoods. It is central for our faith that we encounter Christ himself in his word and sacrament, receiving his gifts for eternal life. But it is such an encouragement for our faith as well to realize how we encounter Christ in brothers and sisters who are treated like the garbage of society, who are defamed and calumniated, whose lives seem to have no value. It is not a sacrifice to work with these people. It is an incredible blessing. I am sure that Christ our Lord is willing to open many doors in the work with these people here in the United States as well. Do not try to lock these doors again just because life in the congregation could be a little bit cozy afterwards. Gemütlichkeit is certainly a German word, but it is not a Lutheran word. And if you work with Christian refugees who had to leave their countries because of their faith, you can learn a lot from them how to live in a society that increasingly becomes anti-Christian in Europe and in the United States as well. We have experienced in Germany that our Lutheran church has gotten the reputation of a refugee church all over Germany during the last years. Not in spite of our theology, but because of our clear theological stance. Nobody is so crazy to suffer persecution for the values of liberal theology. I encourage you to have open eyes and open hearts for the blessings that might expect you around your churches in places that you would not usually notice at all. Never forget The church is built by Christ, not by our personal preferences. You are not the future of the church, dear future deaconesses and pastors, but you are a great blessing and a great gift to the church, that's for sure. Christ does not want to build his church without you, even though he might have to build his church also in spite of you from time to time. But he wants to use your mouth, your hands, your arms and legs, your ears to reach people who so urgently need the gospel and to encourage those whom he had already led into his flock. He does not want to preserve and build his church without your ministry, without your skills and gifts. And he knows how to use you. Maybe it will just be your task to sow out the seed without seeing much fruit. Success is not a mark of the church, let alone that we are saved by success or church growth figures. In any case, Christ will have you experience in one way or the other that you are not the future of the church. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's how Christ builds his church. That's how he builds his church with you as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.